Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
And usual, welcoming your phone calls and text messages for Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, who is back with us. Well, you promised, and you lived up. It is working.
It is working.
Yes, we came up. We found that out
loud. Oh, okay. Okay, I was freaking out right now.
Yes. You thought we didn't pay the electric bill, didn't you?
They've muted me. Oh, no.
No. Just a bulb.
Just a bulb. Okay.
I've
been called a dim bulb many times, so that's okay.
No, we'll get our ace technicians in on that.
Okay, good.
But you're sounding loud and clear.
Excellent.
Or sounding loudly, I guess.
I'm here anyway.
Teresa Rooney is a master gardener, and she has helped us out a number of times, helping you out with your lawn and garden question. You can call it in, as we said. Same number applies to both the text message and the phone calls, and they are starting to come in as well.
You know, Denny, you say I'm helping you guys out. I'm not really. You guys are helping me because I'm like an addict for gardening.
So this is
like a fix.
But this is also kind of keeping you on your toes, is it not, as a master gardener?
Which is kind of a scary thing. Yeah, but it really does. Yeah,
it really
helps keep me on my toes, helps keep me plugged in. But really, it gives me that opportunity to talk gardening.
Well, you know, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, because we've talked about you know, how you become a master gardener and what time of year and all that.
Sure.
But is there continuing education for you guys?
Yeah. Here in the Twin Cities, I think statewide it's a minimum of 8 hours, but here in Hennepin County, we require at least 12 hours of education, and that's continuing every year. Most of our people put in a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I usually put in, you know, 18, 25, something like that, just continuing.
What's your busiest time of the year, State Fair?
The State Fair is a busy time, but it's usually that springtime. You know, like from May to July, it's just kind of crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we love being busy all the time.
Well, you can call in your question or you can send a text. You and I were talking, Teresa, off air about the weather.
The weather.
I mentioned that it's going to be 7 below.
Below is chilly.
However, unlike last year or last winter, I should say, we had initially no snow cover.
Yep.
And then cold.
Yeah.
How do you think our shrubs?
I think the shrubs will be doing okay. Especially because we had such the nice lots
moisture.
Of the moisture in the fall, and it was a gentle fall, and so it wasn't, you know, we didn't really have much of a fall. We just had a really bad summer, and then we went into winter. But so I think that they'll be fine. But what you should be doing is, you know, make sure that you're protecting those shrubs that you want to protect from bunnies, because the bunnies are out there. I saw one this morning. It was surprised when I came out so early. So you know, protect them. You know, hardware cloth or chicken wire will protect most of your shrubs. Think about those plants that maybe always get winter burn. And if you weren't sure about the watering, maybe put up a little barrier between, just a little simple fence of burlap, just between the wind and the sun and the plant. It'll give it a little bit of protection, break the wind and sun, and help it not lose as much moisture. Or considering spraying with something like a wilt stop or wilt proof.
Oh, yeah.
Always read and follow the instructions for your evergreens. And that works really well on your holiday decorations too. Your Christmas tree that you bring
in,
your wreaths and all your little spruce tips and everything outside.
Right. Yep. Tell you what.
Got questions?
There's a line open, 651-989-9226. Let us go to the phones. Scott is calling from Isani. Scott, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning. Say, I had a really successful garden this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I harvested quite a few buttercup and acorn squash.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I to salvage the seeds from them,
mm-hmm.
do you have a recommendation? I mean, like, you know, you clean them out and you clean them off.
Right. And then you'd want
what's a good way to store them?
Then you want to dry them, make sure they're dried really well. And then when they're dried, I would put them in an envelope, or you can even just put them in a, and then put that envelope, make sure you've signed what it is on there, the date and what it is, and then put that in a glass jar that you can seal, and then store that in the crisper of the refrigerator. However, because squashes can cross-pollinate, I don't know what you're going to get, because they can cross-pollinate with each other very easily, a lot of the different squash families. So you may get something that's a combination. You may get something that tastes really horrible and looks good, or vice versa, or it could be something brand new that's just fantastic. So, you know, you can also eat those seeds. You can roast them. You know, the pumpkin seeds, you can eat them. But yeah, so just remember that unless you've carefully covered the flowers and you've done the pollinating, you don't know what you're going to get. It's the same with tomatoes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they can cross-pollinate.
Well, give it a shot anyway.
Give it a shot. You never know what's going to happen, but just be aware that it could be anything.
Okay.
Very good, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks,
good luck
Scott.
With that. 651-989-9226. That's the same number if you want to call in your question or send a text. Here's a text, speaking of which, what is the treatment for a jade plant that has mold on it?
Oh, dear. Well, first of all, you want to make sure it's mold. That sounds very strange. You don't want to get the leaves of the jade plant wet. It's more cactus-like, so it should run a little dry, so mold should not really be an issue. So make sure you're not overwatering it. Make sure it's not getting really wet. I would double-check to make sure that what you're seeing is mold and not an insect.
What could it be if it's not mold?
My brain just went blank.
Okay. I did wonder what kind of critters.
I can see it in my brain, and crawlers, and I it's not scale, and it's not whitefly, and it's not aphids, and it's not spider mites. It's the other one that's all fuzzy on the outside, and I just can't remember what it is. It has cottony stuff that looks like it.
It'll come to you during the break.
It'll come to me during my break or just as I'm walking my car.
Okay.
And I'll scream it out, so listen really carefully.
Or at 3 o'clock tomorrow
morning. And the cats will go crazy.
Tell you what, let's do. Let us take a break. We have texters. We have callers, 651-989-9226. Don't wait now to the last minute to ask Teresa your question. We always tend to get busy and then usually run out of time. So call us or text us right now with your lawn or garden question. 651-989-9226 is the number for both. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to chat with Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, you can do it by phone or by text. Same number, 651-989-9226. You still have you come up with the answer yet?
I haven't come up with it, but thank you. It's not woolly aphids.
All right, so somebody suggested, are you thinking of woolly aphids? And you said no because?
No, because woolly aphids are usually outside.
An outside critter.
Yeah, this is.
All right.
I'm going to have to do some research. I've been thinking of it all week long, though, too. That's really strange.
It'll come to you before you take your leave today.
Let's think of that,
right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, 651-989-9226. There's a line open if you want to talk. Or just, if it's easier, send us a text. Same number. Speaking of which, hello, it's Matt. Texter says, my Christmas cactus, it has rounded leaf tips, is loaded with blossoms, but is shriveled looking. Is that it's in a north-facing window, mm-hmm. about 3 feet above heat. Thanks for the great show.
Okay, so it may need a little more moisture because you've got the heat on this time of year, so it's a little drier. If it's withered, then it probably needs a little more moisture. So give it a little more moisture, but don't move it. To set their buds, like orchids and Christmas cactus and Easter cactus, they need a difference between night and day temp of about 10 degrees, which is why they kind of like windows and bad windows and chilly windows and night times and falls. And that's how those buds get set. But don't move the cactus. Just give it a little more water.
Don't move it.
Don't move it. Yeah, because they'll fall off.
Okay. All right, let's see. Oh, there's more coming in here. When I was raking this fall, I took a couple of pictures of the weed that had taken over my yard. Do I send those to the website to determine what it is and what I can do about it?
You certainly can. First of all, go to extension.umn.edu, and you can even click on what is this plant. And you can go to the garden tab, and you might even find it there. If you still can find it, you can send those pictures at the Ask a Master Gardener website, or Ask a Master Gardener link, and that's right on that website, too. And you can send them saying, this is the weed I found. But lots of times you can identify it. What weed is this? We have one of those ID tabs too.
extension.umn.edu. Mm-hmm.
And you know what, since it's so cold outside, you know, if you've got your holiday shopping done or you're waiting for the cookies to bake, well, make sure that you're really close because cookies take really fast. But just go to the website and peruse and enjoy and look at green stuff and just
get
stay
set
warm
for
in the
next spring and summer.
Get set for the next spring and summer. Yep.
All right, 651-989-9226. Again, that's the same number for the call-in or the text questions.
Which by now they should have coded into their phone.
I should say.
Yes.
Texter says, our honey locust tree still has half its leaves this late in the year. That's a first. What's up?
Sometimes, you know, the leaves just don't senesce. They don't break off. I wouldn't worry about it unless it becomes a habit of the tree every year. I noticed a lot of trees this year held on to their leaves. It just was because I don't know all the reasons, but it was just the fall that we have didn't cue the plants to, you know, close off those little capillaries and let those leaves fall down. So I wouldn't worry about it. Just make sure your tree, check it next year and making sure it looks okay. And if you need to bring in an expert, a certified arborist to look at it, but it should be fine. And the winds are going to blow off. You know, we're going to get those wicked mm-hmm. winds and the snows, and they're going to take all those leaves. And pretty soon you'll be wondering what leaves was I thinking of.
And we've mentioned it before, too, that we have a lot of great certified arborists around
mm-hmm.
here.
So yeah.
You have good choices.
Yeah.
Texter says this. It's the same thing. It's how do I control squash bugs? They also want to know, is there an organic treatment for squash bugs?
There is. You have them on the end of your finger, on the end of your hand.
Oh, really?
They're called fingers. You can pick them off. Otherwise, insecticidal soap works quite well on squash bugs. And you can also just make sure that you're checking the bottom of the leaves and squishing the eggs, taking the eggs off. That will knock those populations way back. What you may even want to consider, too, is planting your squash just a little bit later and covering it with a floating row cover. It's that white polyspun stuff. And waiting until it starts to bloom before you take that off, and then you should bypass most of the squash bug.
Oh, that's
time.
Interesting.
Because it gets the light and the wonder, water and everything else through that, but the insects can't get through to lay eggs.
You know, I noticed, I just thought of it, that we haven't had a question yet about dormant seeding.
That's good. That means people have learned that you have, it has
Plus
to be clear
Plus there's snow
ground.
On the ground.
Plus
yeah.
there's snow on the ground, so you have to have clear ground to have dormant seeding.
Okay, let's see. John from West St. Paul says this on a text, I have a large black walnut with a couple of large horizontal limbs close to my garage roof. When is the best time to trim these?
You can take,
and should I seal the cut after?
Okay, so you don't have to seal the cut. The tree will take care of that. You can trim that any time of the year that you want to. Remember, you only want to take off a quarter of the entire tree at one time. So if these are big, then take off the one that's the worst right now, and maybe next year do it at the same time. You can do it now if you want. Later in the winter and early spring would be better for the tree, but it's not going to hurt it now if you do it. And again, I would go to the website because those are big branches. You want to make a three-action cut, ABC. If you don't know what that means, you may even want to have a certified arborist come in and do it, because if that branch lands on your garage, that's not so good. And those arborists are covered and they know what they're doing. So
absolutely.
And if you know a woodworker, the wood is really wonderful for them to work on. You can't really sell it because there could be nails and all kinds of stuff in it. So the black walnut wood isn't really good for selling unless it's grown, particularly for lumber. But if you know a woodworker, it's beautiful wood.
Isn't that also, does that have some kind of a substance that...
It does. Yes, you're right, Denny. It has juglone in it.
And so, what does that do?
Juglone is, it's a protection for the black walnut, so the black walnut doesn't have competition around it. So it basically inhibits a lot of other plants. So tomatoes and lilacs and things like that don't grow really well. Roses don't grow really well, apple trees. But hostas will be fine. And most plants have that around their seeds. They have a little bit of something that inhibits other plants around them so they get a chance to grow.
Protection.
Mm-hmm. It's protection. It's just like the juglone, though, and the black walnut is pretty potent.
But you're right. Beautiful.
Lifelong.
If you're a woodworker, you know what that's about.
It's beautiful wood, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. If you want to call in your question, that's fine. There's a line open, 651-989-9226. If you prefer, like a lot of folks do, send Teresa your text. That is same number, 651-989-9226. We're getting suggestions on what you were trying to think of.
Oh, good.
From that critter on the jade plant. Are you thinking of nematodes?
Nope, not nematodes.
There's another one, says mealybugs.
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Mealybugs is the cotton white insect that likes jade plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, mealybugs, yeah.
Another smart,
thank you.
Another smart gardener.
Yeah, I'm even going to write that down because mealybugs. My brain has, mealybugs. They kind of look like little sow bugs, sort of.
Oh, yeah.
They're teeny tiny, though, and you can't really see them very well. But, yeah, they look like cotton in your plants.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the
thank you.
Answer.
You have intelligent listeners. So
as we head
amazing.
To this break, I want to alert our listeners. We have another half hour of the show to go. But don't wait. If you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours by phone or by text. Same number applies for the phone and the text, 651-989-9226. Good morning and welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday here in the 8 o'clock hour on WCCO. Nice to have you here either by phone or by text. If you want to ask Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, your question, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. All right, Teresa,
Okay. Put
you back to work here.
Excellent.
Michelle in Minneapolis is first up here on the phone. Michelle, good morning. What can we do for you?
Hi, Michelle.
Good morning. First of all, I really enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have trees that are birch trees up in our cabin. It's near Park Rapids. We planted them about 6 years ago from a seedling. And I'd say we planted about 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
They're dying kind of from the top down. The leaves are just shriveling up. And around the bark, there's like little marks, like holes almost like. And then the woodpeckers were really after them.
Yep. It sounds like you might have, or your trees, you don't have this, your trees have it. It's a bronze birch borer. They're little D-shaped holes, and the borers get in, and they bore through, and they interrupt the nutrients going up and down the tree. Birch trees are really susceptible to it. There's a few that are resistant, but it's... You can have an arborist look at them, or you may just want to take them down. It depends on how big they are now and how bad the infestation is. But the bronze birch borer is pretty awful for the birch trees.
Are not birch trees, they're not a really long-living tree, are they?
They're like a 30-year-old tree.
Oh, okay.
They're a short-lived tree. They would prefer to live on the west side of a meadow so that the trees behind them protect them from the west sun. They get the gentle east light. They get a little bit of extra moisture. So they're a park shade kind of a tree. They're a short-lived tree. The woodpeckers are there because there's insects in the bark. So when you you see woodpeckers on a tree, they're looking for insects. So if you see a lot of woodpecker damage on a tree, that means the tree has insects in it. It could be ants. It could be other critters. And if it's ants, they could be there because there's just the rotting of the tree. So all of those aren't causing the problem. They're telling you that there is a problem.
I was noticing when I was removing some leaves and moving to the way in the, what I call the woods in the backyard, there's one pine tree. I think a deer must have loved to scratch the antlers on, I mean, it's all
take
worn out.
Take the velvet off, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what is that going to be the end of that tree possibly?
You know, it depends. If it's all the way around, then the tree is probably going to die.
Mm.
If it's just one part, the other part may, there may be enough nutrients that can get up and down the tree. The trunk of the tree to get to all the different branches and needles. But that could be something that you do have to check on. I mean, you know, the deer have to take the velvet off of their antlers or off of their horns.
Yeah, antlers.
And they do, so they rub it off and, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll have to double check that and see if it's, it's complete.
Yeah.
651-989-9226. Calls are coming in and texts as well.
Excellent.
Speaking of which, I don't think you have your crystal ball with you.
No, I left it at home.
The texter says, I did dormant seeding this fall. Mm-hmm. What percent of success can I expect in the spring?
It could be 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know because you don't know how fast the snow is going to melt. You don't know if the critters got under the snow and ate it all. You don't know if the birds ate all of it. And you don't know if it's going to rot in the spring. So you just don't know. It's just a luck. You just never know.
Good okay. Luck. Now I'm looking at a text that kind of jumps around.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah. They do that for you.
But, all right, let me do this one first,
okay.
And then we can interpret.
Okay.
I have three blue spruce trees that border my yard next to my 6-foot-high cedar fence. I'd like to trim the branches up to the level of the fence from the ground. When can I do that?
You can do that pretty much any time. Again, you never want to take more than a third of the tree off at a time. That's a third of the foliage. And spruce and pines have lower branches because they have a fibrous root system. So those branches shade the root system to keep the tree roots moist. So when you start limbing up your evergreens, you're letting a lot more light under there and a lot more dryness. So you may have to give it some more moisture.
Okay. Yep. Very good. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Ruth is calling in from River Falls, I believe. Ruth, good morning. What can we do for you?
Hi, Ruth.
Well, good morning. A few weeks ago, I heard you say something about putting cones over roses and being careful that they don't heat inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I have these two very old rose bushes that seem to come back just from nothing, and the rabbits got at them and chewed them down twice.
Oh, that's rabbits.
So I put some soil around them and then put a couple of ice cream buckets over them.
Oh, sure.
And now they're covered with snow, and I'm wondering, are they okay that way, or should I get the buckets off and let the snow actually insulate it?
You could go either way with that. As long as the snow is covered over the ice cream buckets, you're fine. If the snow, however, melts or gets off of the ice cream buckets, then what you're going to have is the sun hitting the ice cream bucket and heating it up too much inside. So either poke a bunch of holes or make a bunch of splits so the bunnies can't get in there, but the heat can get out. Because I think you just wanted the ice cream buckets as protection. And next year, you know, you can just take a bag of loose leaves and just pile it up around, a bag of leaves that isn't really full, so it's really floppy, and you can just flop that over those roses, and that will protect it from the bunnies, and you won't have to worry about ice cream buckets. But as soon as the top of those ice cream buckets are being in the sunshine, you need to cut them or take them off, and then just maybe throw the snow over them. But then the bunnies will probably dig in the snow, so I'd leave the ice cream buckets.
Okay. So what was that book you put together about kind of...
Humane Critter Control.
Critter Control.
By Teresa Rooney, yes. It's a wonderful Christmas gift.
And like, what critters can you read about in the book?
You know, it's a lot of different kind of critters. They wouldn't let me talk about armadillos. I really wanted to, but they wouldn't. But we
you don't see too many in
we
these
don't
parts,
see many yeah. of those now. We talk about raccoons and deer and insects and even weed problems and people and
oh.
like people are could be problems and pets can be a problem. It's more of a how to get your mindset to deal with critters rather than there's a lot of like how to prevent things,
mm-hmm.
but there's also like let's think in advance what's happening and what kind of damage are we willing to take? What aren't we willing to take? What can we do to make this better for everybody? Because the critters are part of our environment and
yep.
they add a lively, wonderful part of our environment and we need them in our environment.
What's the title again?
Humane Critter Control.
And getting it where?
At Amazon. You can buy it at some of the bookstores, I think. The university bookstore has
it. Can you find it at the Arboretum, too?
I think you can find it at the
okay.
Arboretum, yeah.
We'll talk about the Arboretum, too,
yeah.
coming up.
Oh, because there's so much going on out there.
Yeah, as
yeah.
usual.
As usual.
Yeah. All right. Call in your lawn or garden question, please, or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. All right. I'm going to try my hand at this because
okay.
it's come in sections here.
Okay.
Texter says, I received a beautiful, huge rubber plant from my daughter this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It touches the ceiling.
Oh, my.
She had it in a west window, but I have it in a room facing the east. It was doing fine for a while
mm-hmm.
when I first got it. It needed to be transplanted into a larger pot with new dirt. I water it about once a month, but now many leaves are turning yellow and dropping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid it may be dying. What can I do?
It probably needs more light. When you transplanted it, hopefully you just went up one size container, and then you didn't fertilize. Make sure you're giving it a little more water. It probably needs more water. This is a tropical plant, so it probably needs a little more water than you're giving it. And the next time it needs to be transplanted, you don't have to put it in a bigger pot. You can just, take it out of the pot it's in, cut off an inch or two all around the pot of the roots and off of the bottom, and then put it back in with fresh soil under it and around the sides. And that way you kind of limit the pot size. Make sure that your pot has drainage.
Oh, yes.
But I would think it might need a little more water and light.
I wonder, too, this is such a dry time of year.
It's so dry. You know, your skin is dry. You're getting electrocuted when you,
yeah.
you touch things in your house. And plants want that humidity, and our humidity in our homes from our forest air heating or whatever kind of heat you've got going. It just is really dry in the winter, so you need to add some more humidity, whether it's pebble trays or run a humidifier, put all your plants together.
We have such smart listeners.
We do.
And this is something I did not know. And we were talking about the deer.
Mm-hmm.
It says, just a correction. We appreciate
mm-hmm.
that.
Good.
Deer rub scent on trees. They do not rub the velvet off their antlers. The velvet simply falls off the antlers when the blood supply stops.
When the blood supply stops. Okay.
How about that? I did not know that.
I did not know that about the scent, I don't think.
Hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. I thought they were, you know, because I was thinking marking their territory,
yeah,
but
yeah.
they're not marking it with the velvet. They're marking it with the scent.
With the scent.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We have very smart listeners.
And smart deer, too.
And very smart deer.
And many of them.
Yes.
They love landscape plants.
Yes, they do. And so
All
do
right.
the bunnies.
Tell you what, Teresa, let's take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, let's talk about the Arboretum.
Okay, let's do
but
that.
But we welcome again. Teresa's going to be here for about another 10, 12 minutes. So if you have a lawn or garden question, don't wait. Call it in. Text it in. 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to our friends like Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, who's helping you out today.
Hello.
Call Teresa or send Teresa a text. Same number, 651-989-9226. Shall we go to the phones?
Yes,
let's go
to the
phones. Let's do that. Mary Ellen is calling in. Mary Ellen from Minneapolis, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Love the program.
Thank you.
I purchased some poinsettias for myself in gifts at a big box store.
Mm-hmm.
They are beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Big five blossoms on them. I'm finding every 2 days when I feel the soil, they feel like they are dry and need to be watered.
Mm-hmm.
The little tag says,
maintain moderately moist soil, but it seems like every 2 days to water.
Yep, that could be right. Because our houses are so dry, so go ahead and keep that soil moist. It's just, you know, we can't just go by watering once a week or once a month. We have to figure out what's going on with the activity around, the humidity around, and we have to change because the plants can't move around and get different humidity. So go ahead and give it a little more water. Make sure that the water can drain out, that it's not all just sitting in the bottom, especially if you've left it in the pretty foil container, the paper thing. Make sure you're dumping that out after about 10 minutes so that it just gets really nice and moist and then the roots don't sit in the water.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, let's give it its full name, the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum.
Yes, in beautiful downtown, no, not downtown Chaska, but out on Highway 5. They've got so much going on. There's music today. You can do a create and take art experience so you can make things. And every time you can go out to the Arboretum, you know, they have a wonderful gift store, so they have a gift thing going on today, too. So you can buy gifts for those gardeners or wannabe gardeners or armchair gardeners. And then they have these wonderful galleries filled with paint and art. Mm. And so the lunch area, the dining room has a bunch of art in it. The Reedy Gallery has art
this,
in it.
This is, for folks that don't know or never been there, this is a big place.
It's many acres. I don't know how many hundreds of acres.
I don't either.
They now have a bee lab or a building out there that is off-site. It's the big red barn kind of area, and the master gardeners will also have a home out there, and then they're going to have a farm out there so you can see the food crops that are growing, and they'll do all kinds of tests on that. And if you're looking for a plant and you want to say, what does that walnut tree look like when it's full-grown, you can go out to the arboretum and see what a full-grown walnut tree looks like. If you want to see what a weeping spruce looks like, you can go and see what a weeping spruce looks like, or what a Louisa crabapple will look like in full bloom and how big it can get.
Yeah.
So you can really see what these things look like and how do they work in all the different seasons, and maybe go out there every season and check what Louisa looks like. Do you really want her in your yard or not? I don't know. So, you know, you can check this out. If you want to see great ideas on flowers and shade gardens, and they have a wonderful Chinese garden they're putting in, and there's a maize, and there's a Japanese garden. Now, a lot of stuff is, most of it's outside, so it's winter.
Right.
So you're not going to see a lot of flowers outside in the wintertime. But they also have master gardeners out there on the weekends to answer questions. There's just so much going on. It's a treasure for Minnesota.
It really is.
And I think 1 or 2 years ago, it was the best arboretum in the United States.
It was voted
States.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's, as far as location, you head west on Highway 5 toward Chaska.
Yep, just past 41, and it's on your left.
Yep. You'll see the big
and you'll see all kinds of like little grape vineyards and orchards, and that's where they're doing their testing. And then the Apple House, of course, when that's open, is a mile further down the road on the right hand side. So
just a quick hop there.
Just a quick hop. So absolutely, there's so much going on, and they give you lots of ideas. So it's a treat any time of the year. And now, if you even want to just get out and do some cross country skiing,
yeah, they got that
or snowshoeing, or walking through the woods, or getting, you know, dinner or cookies and milk with Santa. They have that going on some days for the kids. And
get to the Arboretum. This is a great time of year to bring family and friends out.
Go to the Arboretum, yep. And if you need some green, they have a conservatory too, so you can look at some big orchids and plants.
Very good.
Green stuff.
Get out there. Texter says, what can we do to our lawn in the spring to prevent the weedy grass that has been taking over midsummer? Enjoy your show.
Okay, I'm not sure which weedy grass it is. You kind of have to identify that first. If it's crabgrass, you can put down a crabgrass pre-emergent. You would want to do that when the lilacs are blooming, about May 8th, 9th, 10th, 15th, depending. And that stops seeds from germinating, seeds from putting down roots. If it's a perennial grass, then you have to take it out either manually, pull it up by hand. You also want to think if maybe it's not a grass, maybe it's a sedge that you're seeing, and so you want to identify it first.
Okay. Tell you what, let's do. I know we just got a couple of minutes to go. Let's go to the phone. Sue is calling in from Eagan. Sue, what is your question?
Hey, Sue.
Good morning. We live in Eagan. We have a three-stem riverbirch.
Okay.
That was planted in 1990, and it looks healthy, but it looks like I'm reading online that they only have like a 25-year lifespan, which really surprises me because our old house in Egan, mm-hmm. we had ones that were like 35 years old. So yep. What's the lifespan?
You know, it can be anywhere from, you know, 30, 40 years. They have a shorter lifespan. So they're not a real, they're not like an oak tree where they may live hundreds of years. However, in a city environment, you know, it's more stressful for them, so they may not live as long. What you have to do is just know that eventually that tree probably will have to go, or it will go on its own, and think of that. But enjoy it while it is, and just keep it as healthy as you possibly can. Everything has a lifespan, even people. Yeah. So it just depends. But yeah, birch aren't the longest lived trees, but they're not the shortest either.
Okay. All right. Let's grab a call from Barb, who's calling from Woodlake. Barb, are you on CCO?
Hi, Barb.
Yes, good morning. I had a cacti that I had gotten from one of the box stores, and I had it in the house over the winter. And then I noticed one day when the sun was shining on it, there was like a, like I thought it was a silver hair across it. And so I didn't think anything of it, and then I saw another one, and I thought, what is going on here? And first I thought, well, maybe it's a spider. Well, I took it outside so I could see it better, and here it was. They were worms. They were a worm, a long, silver, shiny.
That one's a new one on me.
And I didn't know what it was, but however, once I took it outside, it was gone.
Yep, that's the nice thing with our houseplants. If we have our houseplants in the house, it's really stressful for them. But if we can get them outside in the summertime in the shade, a lot of the insects will be eaten by other insects. They get a lot of good light. They get a lot of nice, healthy air. So then we can bring them back into our homes, which they think are dungeons, and then they can maybe make it through the winter. So that's why your houseplants and plants look so good outside, and then they don't look so good in the house. So if you've got a houseplant, go and check it out. Make sure it's happy. Do whatever you can to get it happy. Check it for insects. Make sure the watering is correct and the lighting is correct.
We have 60 seconds to go. A texter wants to know, they heard us talking about recently, where is this now? Pebble trays.
Yes.
What is that?
Pebble trays. So you take a flat tray, you put pebbles or marbles in it, you fill it with water, and then you set your plants on top of the pebbles or the marbles so the plants are not sitting in the water, but the water evaporates around them and raises the humidity.
All right, one more. Let's try it.
Okay.
I have a plant arrangement of several plants in a basket. The plants are in containers that would be considered seedling size. If I want to keep them in this basket, can I cut the roots back instead of transplanting?
You can on some of them, but those are really small, so you may want to bring it up just one more size and see if you can fit them all in.
Okay.
Or go to the extension.umn.edu.
Yes, and that's what we're going to leave you with, extensions, because somebody else was asking about that website, extension.umn.edu. Good to see you again,
Good
Teresa.
Good to see you, Denny.
See you down the road.
Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with us here on WCCO.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.